You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610. Sean, Rich, and making his weekly visit with us, Cecil Shorts, former Texans wide receiver.
Yes, sir.
Now part of the 610 family. And practice observer extraordinaire today. And interviewer extraordinaire today. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm all right. How about yourself?
We're doing great.
We got to start every week by asking how Mrs. Shorts is doing.
She's doing well.
She's in our prayers.
Thank you. She's doing well. She's officially on hospital bed rest.
Right. Still?
Still. So okay. She'll be there until the babies come out.
Yeah. Oh, so she's on bed rest all the way through.
All the way through. So
yeah.
All three babies. There.
Yeah. So she's in there.
How are the babies?
They're awesome.
They're good. Okay.
Everybody's good.
Good.
It's just they're literally in there just chilling.
Yeah. Well, they'll be here soon enough.
Yeah. September is what they're saying. So we'll see.
What do you tell you? Because you have four kids.
Yes.
All below the age of seven, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes, seven is the oldest. You're right.
What have you, the ones who kind of know what's going on of your kids, because I'm assuming, what are the ages of the four?
Seven-year-old boy, four-year-old girl, two-year-old boy, one-year-old.
Okay, so I would, at least the oldest two,
yes.
Probably kind of know
what the youngest two, no clue.
But. Yeah, kind of know what's going on. So what have you, like, how do you convey the story of three babies about to be added to the house to a seven-year-old and a four-year-old?
Well, we told them we were having triplets, and they were excited, but yeah. We didn't know the sex of the babies yet. So my son was like, we need at least one boy. If we just get one boy, I'm good. I'm good, Daddy. And we ended up telling him it was three girls, and he cried.
Did he?
He said, it's not fair. Daddy, it's not fair. I'm like, you're right, son.
But you're yeah. Like, but I'm not trying for another boy, just so you know, son.
Yeah, well, no, that's it. That's seven it. I'm sorry. Yeah, seven is we're good.
That is the go-to for seven-year-olds, though. It's not fair.
It's not fair. Yeah, so he was upset, but yeah. They're well, good. They're excited now.
Good, good, awesome. Good. Well, glad things are good over in the household over there. Glad Mrs. Shorts is doing well.
Thank you.
You were out of practice today.
Yes.
How is that being? How is it? You know, there's, of course, we have former players on this station that go out to practice. Have you, since you retired, have you spent any time going out to practices or training camp or anything? Or is this the first chance you've had to go back and visit a training camp practice?
Yeah, this is my first chance to ever
how'd it go
be
for
at a
you?
Training camp practice. It was a learning experience.
Yeah.
First of all, I wore too many clothes.
It was, yeah. Yeah. Dude, I'm looking at Cecil. I'm like, bro,
oh,
yeah. You're wearing those jeans,
oh,
man.
Oh, never again. It'll be basketball shorts and a t-shirt.
Yep.
Oh, amen. Man. But it was good. It was just the whole process of getting the credential and knowing where to park. And but it was cool. It was cool seeing some old faces. And I got to learn to use the everywhere we can be, because we can be in that one center. I guess you can walk down some more and go on the other side. I have to learn to walk down there so I can see everything.
You used to be able to walk everywhere, right?
I know, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard seeing a little bit, but it was good.
Yeah.
Well, one thing we haven't mentioned that is just sort of like a mini sort of news item. I don't think we got to this at the beginning of the show, but it's being reported as a short-term, not a serious problem, but Kaimi Fairbairn is apparently a little banged up.
Oh. They tried some kickers out today.
And they did try a couple of kickers out. That's what I was going to throw out there. Yeah. Giorgio Tavecchio, who was with the Raiders, and Nick Rose, who spent some time with the Redskins and Chargers, are being considered. They're being looked at by the Texans. We thought it was weird from day one that Fairbairn, even when healthy, was the only kicker in camp. I just figured competition's always a good thing.
Always, always. Even them, you see it with Leckler. They brought in a guy to compete with him.
Yeah.
Leckler's a future Hall of Famer.
Yep.
And if you bring in a guy to compete with him, you would think they would bring somebody for the kicker as well. But I think Fairbairn's a good kicker. Hopefully there's nothing too serious going on. But looking at the punters today, they were booming that
thing. They were.
Both of them were booming that thing. Now, I was watching the 49ers punter. I wasn't that impressed with him. I'm not sure if he was the main guy or not.
Yeah.
And they were kicking with the wind today, too.
Hmm.
So, but Leckler and them guys, they were booming it.
Yeah, well, Hopkins found a way to get out of practice for the day pretty early. Do you how much of that do you think was an actual fight, and how much of that was D-Hop? Like, okay,
no.
I'll be here on September 9th.
I think it was an actual fight.
Do you?
Just because of where you are in camp, this is the time where the guys that are the starters are kind of like, all right, I'm ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to get going. I'm tired of going against Jonathan Joseph. I'm tired of going against Kareem and the Honey Badger. They know everything I do. I know everything they do. So you're getting like pumped up to play against somebody different, and you want to put on a good show, and especially D-Hop. He wants to prove that he is the best every single day.
Yeah.
That's just his demeanor. And the very first one-on-one,
yeah.
The guy grabs his helmet. Have you seen the video?
Of course.
The guy grabs his helmet. I don't think it was intentional, but he definitely moved it up so it can come off.
It was hand fighting
and,
at the snap.
Yeah, and he still caught the ball, which is what Hype does. And then, you know, he threw an extra push or a punch in there.
Well, Ward shoved him after the catch. It was over until Ward shoved him, and then it was on. But so I don't put it on D-Hop.
Honestly, that's what DBs do. Even after the catch, if they're upset, if they're mad, they'll try to punch at the ball, and that's what he did. And he shoved him, and Hype wasn't having it.
Yeah, I feel like this, just as someone who observes training camp, who obviously never played in a training camp, to me, the inner squad stuff, the inner squad ones are obviously the most fun to be there for because it's a hyper-competitive environment.
Absolutely. And they go by fast, too.
It does, doesn't it? And other than 11-on-11, my favorite thing to watch are the drills where we wound up seeing D-Hop get into a fight. The one-on-one drills between the cornerbacks and the wide receivers, which you obviously participated in hundreds of those when you were a player. Do they have the same level of intensity that we kind of sense watching those? Like, there's a lot of prove it to people going on out there.
Yes, because you want to prove that you can earn a spot on the team.
Yep.
As well as prove that this guy can't check me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot that goes into that one-on-one. And then you're going to be in the film room. So Bill O'Brien will be quick to put up, hey, this is a bad rep right here. We can't have this, or this is a good rep. So it's a lot that goes into it. This little stuff at practice can be the difference between you making the team and not making the team.
Yeah.
You fighting for a spot like Braxton and Bruce, they're fighting for a spot. So little stuff they do, if they have a good day, if they have a bad day, all that matters. How they do in their routes. Are they the right depth, the correct depth? Are they getting off the line of scrimmage? Are they running the option route correctly? I seen Bruce Ellington on the option route today. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
He had a good day patient today.
Shook him at the line of scrimmage with the pivot route. Oh, he looked really good.
You know, with owners still able to charge regular season prices for the four exhibition games, which I've maintained forever is the biggest ripoff in sports.
I didn't even think about that.
Regular season prices for basically practice games, where oftentimes the big names you're paying to see are nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, the NFL would be better served to just do a lot of this in the preseason and not even have the preseason games, or maybe have two instead of four preseason games. I feel like having four preseason games, and I know, look, back in the day when I first started covering the NFL, there were six, which is just insane to think of. But even four feels like a little too much, because I feel like if you've got a team you can practice against, which Bill O'Brien likes to do and has done every year he's been here, I feel like you can get the same amount of quality work done against an opponent in controlled situations, maybe even more since you control the situation, than maybe you can in regular season in preseason games themselves.
Well, it's a few things. I don't think there's ever a time where you can substitute game reps. I think game reps are critical, especially getting ready for the season. So I do think you can get a lot out of controlled practice, but game reps where you're fully able to tackle somebody and bring somebody to the down, where you might have to go against it. If you're on defense, you might have to go against a 2-minute offense. You tackle somebody, you got to get back up, get back into it. The conditioning, all that, you can't translate that in practice. That's just something you can't do.
You can't simulate that. Okay, this is the score. This is how much time. Let's go.
You can. I mean, to a certain extent, but actual in game. I mean, with your heart pounding, with the nervousness, the excitement, the crowd going crazy. Anything can happen. You can't. It's hard to simulate that exact feeling. But also, I agree. It's a lot of preseason games. But scrunching it down to two, it's going to be a lot harder for guys to make the team.
How basic are the plays that are being used at a practice like today? And I ask that because I think, you know, the offensive line is a concern heading into the season, and I think it was a concern today. You know, The San Francisco 49ers, I thought, did a pretty good job of getting after Deshaun Watson if it were a real game and they were allowed to touch him. But obviously, they're not doing anything with Deshaun on the move. They're not doing any of that motion they use.
Very bland.
No play action. Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you, Cecil. Like, how basic are the plays that are being used in inter-squad scrimmages like this?
It's pretty much, especially with O'Brien, it's pretty much day one type stuff.
Okay.
They don't care how they know the plays or not. They want you to execute. They want you to see you make the right reads. For Deshaun, if the guy, number one, number two's not open, all right, check it down to Lamar. Check it down to whoever it is.
Yep.
Don't force the ball. No turnovers. They want to see the offensive line make the correct blocks. Receivers make the correct reads so that they can care less, because they're really getting ready for week one.
Yeah, so there's no chess game going on out there at all. Like, they're just trying to run something basic to see how guys execute.
Very basic, very vanilla.
Okay.
They want to see guys execute and who can make plays.
Okay, there you go. Cecil Shorts in studio with us for the 4 o'clock hour, as he will be every Wednesday throughout the football season.
seeing different looks, going against different competition, different guys that's, you know, showing different techniques, and just try to improve as an offense, as build our chemistry, going against other guys.
Deshaun Watson on how today practice made him better. One more from Watson talking about two areas in which he can improve.
Quicker decision making, and just continuing to work on my accuracy. It's always, those are two areas that you can always continue to build on and get better. Like I said before, no one's perfect. No one's, you know, it's going to be right on each and every time. So just different looks, different looks and just different, you know, balls that I need to throw versus different coverages.
Deshaun Watson combining insightful answers with cordiality. Absolutely. In that. What's up, homeboy? Rich Lord, Sean Pendergast, and Cecil Shorts is in studio with us for his weekly visit. Cecil, you were saying during the break today, this was your first chance to see Deshaun Watson in person today. What did you think?
I was surprised, since he's only a second-year guy, how calm and collected he was in the pocket. He was calm. He trusted his offensive line. He made quick decisions, even though he says he wants to work on making quicker decisions. I thought the decisions he made today were awesome. He didn't force anything, wasn't afraid to use his check down. And that's huge in the offense. O'Brien is like, listen, if you don't see nothing down the field, check the ball down. A check down can get you a first down. A check down can be a big play. So I think just how calm he was. I mean, he looked like a 7-8 year veteran back there in the pocket.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Were you, you know, you watched this team last year like we all did, and Deshaun through those six games. Just speaking for myself, when, you know, we'd seen so much of O'Brien's offense the first 3 years here with all those quarterbacks, and obviously you were part of the team in 2015, so you know as well as anybody. It was really hard to kind of ascertain what exactly the O'Brien offense was, in part because there were so many different guys who were under center, and, you know, for a lot of that time, it didn't look great. I was concerned when Watson got in there in 2017 and he finally got his chance. Like, okay, is this going to be one of those things where O'Brien tries to jam a square peg into a round hole? I was really impressed with how O'Brien kind of adapted his offense to Watson. As you were observing that last year, did that surprise you at all? Or was O'Brien a guy who you sensed in your time playing for him would be able to adapt to a quarterback like Watson fairly easily?
I knew he'll be able to adapt to Watson. He's a guy that loves to sit down and write up all types of creative stuff. And then I think also he didn't want to rush Watson and put him in a situation that he wasn't ready for. So he didn't overload him with tons of plays, especially when they told him Tom was going to be the guy throughout the year.
Yep.
So I think they did a good job of bringing him along slowly, doing things that he does well. And then as time goes on, he was able to, you know, add a little more here and there. But the whole offseason, I think you're going to see the whole juggernaut. You're going to see everything out there now. They're not going to hold anything back.
He only played 6.5 games, but it's really hard to answer the question, what does he need to work on? I mean, obviously there's things he needs to work on, but to identify them is not that easy. I mean, we talk from time to time about some of the throws he quote-unquote got away with last season. There were some not great decisions that didn't cost him as much as they might moving forward, and I guess that's it, right? The level of decision-making that you hope will go up as the experience goes up.
Yeah, you hit it on the head. The more he plays, the better he'll get, and he'll make mistakes this year. It's probably not good to think that he'll be as great as he was last year because they have film on him now. They have 6.5 games, especially division. Right. Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Tennessee. With Vrabel going to Tennessee, they're going to come, and they're going to come hard.
Yeah.
But I think he will still be excellent in what he does.
Well, and statistically, I don't think people can expect him to be that explosive. In part, I don't know that people – look, one big reason why he was on pace to throw 45 touchdowns or whatever it was last year is because they found themselves in some games that were shootouts. The defense wasn't very good while Watson was the quarterback last year, which brings us to the other side of the ball.
You had
a chance to – right. I mean, a lot of times, you know, a guy throws for 45 touchdown passes. It's either because they're very prolific or because they play on a team that has to go out and score 35 points every time because the defense is giving up 31. But you got a chance to see the defense today as well. What did you like that you saw there from the defense in your observations?
I love what I saw from J.J. He looked explosive. He looked fast. He looked like himself.
He looked like the J.J. you played with back in 2015.
Yes, he looked like the guy out there. And I think they'll do a good job of taking care of him, especially early on, bringing him on slow. He'll play a lot, but they'll bring him on slow. But I love what I saw from the back end today because they have some fast guys over there. Pierre Garçon can run, Marquise Goodwin, who's an Olympic track guy.
Yep.
Triple jumper, long jump, something like that. And Aaron Colvin was out there making plays left and right, knocking a few deep balls down. It was cool to see the Honey Badger get an interception and act up in the end zone today with his guys. So that back end can be so good. Put it this way. If the front end is healthy, it's going to be hard to score points. Last year it was shootouts. The Texans won't have to put up 35, 42, that many points a game. Because if the Texans' defense front line is healthy, you got JJ, you got Clowney, you got Merciless.
Whitney, yeah.
You got them backers inside. And then you got guys in the back because Kareem was a cornerback his whole life.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's able to cover. He's going to be covering tight ends. He's going to be covering the fourth receiver. He's going to be covering running backs. Yep. That's an advantage for the Texans. And you got the Honey Badger that can make plays. You gave Colvin a bunch of money, who's experienced. You got J. Joe, who was lasting this long because of his intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
This is simply how smart he is. He understands the game. So he studies the game. So he's going to make plays naturally because he's smart. Even though he might have lost a step or not, he understands the game. That's why he's lasting so long. So yeah. I think that defense, if they're healthy, and that's the thing. If anybody's healthy, they'll be good. But, oh, man, they can be special.
I mean, theoretically, on every snap for that defense, there should be somebody that has an advantage. Because when you think about it, between Merciless, Watt, Clowney, and even DJ Reader, if he turns into that, you know, that earth mover that requires attention by more than one offensive player, who do you not double team? I mean, it's pick your poison.
It's pick your poison. They're going to bring the blitz.
Yeah.
So they bring the pressure on you. Then you got to get rid of the ball quick, and that works in the favor of the defensive backs. So they don't have to cover long.
Yeah.
It makes their job easier.
It's a luxury, for sure.
Absolutely. All right, so you had a chance to interview some of your former teammates today, Cecil.
Yes.
And
did that feel weird?
It was the most awkwardest thing.
Really?
But it was cool. It was cool. We kind of just ran with it and tried to have some fun with it, asked a couple different questions.
So. Yeah, as a former player, I think that's where you have an advantage over guys like us. They're going to be comfortable with you. You know, you're a former player, you're a former teammate. So so I'm anxious to hear. I haven't heard any of these yet, nor seen any of them. I think they're going to be up on our website. Were they filming them? Was Brad video?
Yeah, Brad's
okay,
him.
Good
guy. Brad's good. A good guy. Shout
and we know Brad. We know you're breaking into this business now. So this is a
Give me some feedback.
A fun little boot camp. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So here is Cecil Shorts interviewing former teammate of his and current Texans backup quarterback in a pretty good game that we'll talk about as well on Thursday against the Chiefs. Here's Cecil Shorts interviewing Brandon Whedon.
All right, Brandon Whedon here with us. First things first, awesome game last week. How do you feel and how's training camp going for you?
Yeah, I feel good. You know, I think the first round of the box, you want to go out and kind of start fast and you want to put together some good drives early on. But I feel comfortable. You know, the one positive about signing back here really was, you know, my comfort level within the offense. You know, not having to relearn everything and kind of having a feel for what they like to do offensively. So I feel comfortable. Now it's just getting comfortable with the guys around me.
Is this the first offense as you've been around? I know you were in Cleveland for a little bit, Dallas, and then here. So you mentioned the comfort. I'm so happy for you because you got to be with the same offense, the same coordinator, the same everything. How does that feel and how does that help you on the field?
Yeah, I mean, this is the longest I've been within an offense, I think, since I started playing football. You know, I mean, even, you know, Cleveland, I had two coordinators. Dallas, I had 2 years where I was with one, which was good. But, you know, this being my third year here, you know, it's there's a lot to be said in that. You know, guys are fortunate enough to play their entire career in the same system. I mean, that's a huge advantage. So, you know, it's good to be back here. I enjoy this team. I enjoy the city. I enjoy the organization. But, yeah, the offense – being in the same system definitely helps.
Definitely. I know you're a big golf guy. Will Tiger ever win a major again? Second place this past weekend. Do you think he'll ever get a major again?
No question. Sunday of the PGA was the best TV I've ever watched. You know, it's him and the way what he does for golf is there's never been another athlete that's probably ever done anything like that for their sport. I'm a huge Tiger fan, huge fan of golf, obviously. I think he's going to get one. I truly do. I think he's hitting the ball too well. If he can figure the driver out, no, he's putting it great. He's getting up and down from everywhere. But, you know, if he hits in the fairway with that driver, you know, watch out.
Phil, Tiger, going one-on-one. Thanksgiving weekend, sometime that time. Who you got?
I'm taking Tiger. I mean, he's playing well right now. He's coming off that appearance. You know, got the playoffs coming up. But $10 million on the line.
That's a lot.
I'm taking the GOAT, man. I'm taking the GOAT. I think Tiger can do it.
Last question. So you, two-sport athlete, baseball, football. Deshaun, incredible athlete. Joe Webb, I mean, he plays special teams. He does everything on the field. Who's the best athlete? And I'm not putting out Stephen Morris. I played with him. But who's the best athlete in the quarterback room?
Well, if you call golf a sport, I'll take it. But I don't think golf's a sport. Athletically, I'm not even close. Those other two guys are way more athletic than I am. I've never seen Deshaun, you know, shoot hoops or do anything like that. But, you know, seeing Joe Webb run down the field, You know, he's obviously got some talent, but between those two, I don't even belong in the same sentence as those two.
Hey, well, thanks for coming, man. Appreciate you.
Look at that. I would say a very, very good job by interviewer Cecil
Absolutely.
Shorts there. Mixed in a little non-football. Asked a question and put Brandon Whedon on the spot a little bit at the end. Of course, he cowered at the foot of Joe Webb and Deshaun Watson.
But this is the time of year to ask those kind of questions.
Yeah.
That fit.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. Okay. I would say my only thing would be, and I don't know if you knew this, but John McClain said that when Brandon Whedon didn't make the team last year, he like pitched a major fit about not making the team. I feel like as a former teammate, Cecil would have been able to. Is it true that you pitched a fit when you didn't make the team last year when you got cut? Is that true? You could have asked a real hard-hitting question.
That's sticky.
You did a good job, man. That was good. We've got two more. We got an Alfred Blue interview and a Ryan Griffin interview that we got to get to as well. He was good last Thursday, Brandon Whedon.
He was good.
Yeah.
Jordan Akins was pretty good, too.
They got a little connection going, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, Whedon talked about it. When you're in an offense for numerous time, I mean, look at Tom Brady. He's been in that same offense 14, 15, 16 years. You're going to master it. You get more comfortable with it. You're going to know inside and out. And just him being back in this offense is going to help him a lot. And he's been proven in games. He won an Indianapolis game a couple years ago.
Yep.
He can win. He has a big arm. He can throw the pill. So I think he has a good shot of being the backup.
And I didn't just throw that in there to throw it in there. I'm excited to see if Akins can get himself on the field and play a significant role in that tight end group this season. I mean, he's obviously off to the best start he could possibly hope for. And I joked about the James Casey comparison, who was also a baseball prospect who eventually went back to football. But when guys do that and they're 25, 26 years old, the way they carry themselves is different than the other first-time guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, you've been in a pro system, so you understand how to be a pro. You've learned. You already went through your rookie phase, rookie mistakes. You were young, whatever the case may be. So you come back and you go to college and then you go to the draft. You're more mature than an average rookie already.
Yeah.
So that kind of puts you ahead of the game.
O'Brien says that other than quarterback, tight end is the hardest position to learn in this offense. Is that accurate? With your experience in this offense, is that accurate? And if so, why is it so tough to learn?
Tight end or slot? Tight end, I would say, because you have to know every offensive line blocking scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know who the mic point is. You have to know, all the running schemes. Whereas a receiver, you can get away with not knowing all the running schemes all the time. So I might agree with that for sure.
But slot, as among the receivers,
slot's the hardest by far.
Yeah,
by far. You have to not only know. So check this out. If you're a rookie coming in or a new guy coming in, you're going to get about 50 to 100 formations that you have to memorize and know.
Wow.
So the first couple OTAs, you're just out there trying to memorize where you line up.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to know the play. So when you line up against an opponent or against in practice, you have to know where you line up, because if not, they're going to be on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to know what you're doing. On top of that, you have to know what the defense is doing.
Yep.
You have to know what defense they're in. Is it zone? Is it man? You have to know clues. You have to know what mic point. If it's a run play, Deshaun's going to point to whoever the mic linebacker is, and it changes to whoever defense they're in. And then you might have to most likely block two people away from that mic linebacker.
Yeah,
there's a lot
headache
that goes into it.
I'm getting a headache as you
You got to, Deshaun will check out a place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse, but I feel like with Braxton Miller playing faster, that perhaps a light has gone on for him with regard to what you're referencing here.
I think so. I think this is third year or fourth year.
He came in 2016. So this is his third year.
Third year in offense. He should know it pretty well.
Yeah.
And if he can stay healthy, I think he can make an impact.
Yeah, what you just said about the slot position and learning it as a rookie, this is, to me, if you're a Kiki QT enthusiast hoping he was going to be your slot guy, he's missing valuable, valuable practice time right now.
Yes, I was hoping to see him today. Everybody, you guys are talking very highly of him.
Yep.
So I was hoping to see him today. But this, you can't, like I said, you can't get rid of practice reps and you can't get rid of game reps. It's so hard to not, because you only get better by practicing.
Cecil Shorts in studio with us. Cecil Shorts in studio with us for one more segment. We'll get to his one-on-ones that he did with Alfred Blue and Ryan Griffin between now and the top of the hour. You're a basketball fan too, Cecil. We know that. We've talked some hoops with you on the show before. What do you think of the Carmelo Anthony signing with the Rockets?
It's interesting to me because him and D'Antoni have history, and it didn't really work out too well there.
Yep.
I think it can work if he is willing to accept a certain role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind him starting, but maybe not playing as much minutes as a normal starter. Not sure if he's humble enough to come off the bench. Just knowing the past and what he's.
We looked it up and were amazed to find out over 1,100 regular season and playoff games combined, he's never come off the bench in one game.
That's tough. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he is. Because it's basketball Hall of Famer. He's got that title at Syracuse. Yeah.
He does have a title.
And he's got multi-time. You know, he's like a double-digit time All-Star. You're getting a look on your face like you wouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame.
No, I'll put him in the Hall of Fame. I just don't like he doesn't play defense.
Yeah.
To me, defense is a choice. You don't have to be the crazy athlete to defend somebody. It's a choice to get down, shuffle side to side, get in somebody's face, make it tough for the opponent.
No greater example than
he. And then you lose Ariza, who was willing to do that, a 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
So, and Melo's more mid-range, so he can shoot threes, of course.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't see it.
There's no greater example of what you just said than James Harden. James Harden made the choice eventually to make himself into a credible defensive force. And now he's not what he was early on. And what he was early on was an embarrassment on defense. He just didn't put – he made the choice not to be a factor on defense, and that's changed.
Yes. It was. He came around this year, but it's really a choice to play defense. It's not anything else.
I think you bring up the point about Carmelo and D'Antoni, and it makes me think of Terrell Owens for a second in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. The reason it took him three tries to get in was because he burnt bridges everywhere he went.
Yes.
Carmelo's kind of done that too, right? Yes. He's been on three teams in the NBA. He forced his way out of Denver.
Yeah.
It didn't end really well in New York. I think he was just more overpaid than anything else in New York, and they just wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And then obviously in OKC, in the one year, I know he wrote this glowing letter about how great the OKC fans are and everything else. The press conference that he did after his exit interview was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Nope, not going to do that. Not going to come off the bench. I'm not going to. He was like laughing at them about the idea of him coming off the bench.
He has an ego. Definitely has an ego.
He does. So it'll be interesting to see it mix in.
The thing about the Basketball Hall of Fame versus football is a bunch of sports writers literally in a smoky room. And unfortunately, sometimes personal agendas come into play, even though their rules explicitly say they're not supposed to.
Yeah, I don't know what basketball's voting constituency is.
That was
going to
be my point.
Yeah.
There's some secret committee in an underground bunker in Nevada somewhere that vote. Nobody knows how people are elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame.
And
it's a complete mystery.
Yeah, it's the lowest rung of the three Hall of Fame, you know, of the baseball, football, basketball. Like, basketball is the one, like, you know. You know, Dick Vitale's in there because he's screaming into a microphone on ESPN. And meanwhile, Rudy Tomjanovich has been an All-American, an All-Star in the NBA, and won two championships as a coach.
And won an Olympic gold medal as a coach.
Right.
Chuck Daly did those things, but it wasn't a five-time All-Star as a player in the overall number one pick in the draft.
Yep.
That's interesting. I wonder what committee, who's in that committee putting it together.
Yeah. It's a great mystery.
No, we need to camp outside that bunker you just talked about and find out.
What was the Rockets' record this year?
So 65-17, yeah.
They are over under 55 wins.
Over.
That's
over
what they, it's funny. Wins? Are you just picking that number out of midair?
Because I just threw it out there.
Because that's 54.5 is the number in Vegas.
Is the
over
under?
Is it?
Yeah. I think it's an easy over
to me. Yeah, we think it's an easy over. But not dismissing what you just said about losing Ariza and even Bamute, and they've gotten some of that back. But that was and we talked about this yesterday. That's my biggest question. I mean, offense comes and goes. Defense is the biggest reason they won 65 games and got to Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. And I still need to see whether or not they're going to approach the defense they were able to put out there on a night-in, night-out basis last season.
Now, what does help is you have Chris Paul. Chris Paul is best friends with Carmelo.
Yeah, I think he's going to keep him in line.
I think, like you said, he can keep him in line. He can get him to buy in.
Yep.
Chris Paul is a true leader, professional. And I think he'll lead that team. To me, he's the leader of the team, even though James Harden is the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
He's the leader of that team.
James is the MVP, but Chris Paul, it's become Chris Paul's team.
Absolutely.
From a cultural standpoint.
Absolutely.
Chris Paul could help Melo add to his hardware and be sixth man of the year.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, a sixth man of the year. I didn't know Carmelo was supposed to be part of the big three in Miami.
Oh, I didn't know that either. Was he really?
He turned it down.
Okay.
And that's when Chris Bosh came into play.
Interesting. Hmm. Wow. Well, it worked out okay for Miami.
Yeah, not bad.
I don't know if they would have won those titles with Carmelo instead of Chris Bosh. Just Chris Bosh was that's a tougher matchup just
stretch
back
four.
In the day. Yeah. You know, stretch four with all that length that
more
he had.
More versatile player for sure.
And I think probably better, a more willing defender. You know, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Cecil, you, as we played in the previous segment, you talked to a few of your former teammates. Yes, we heard from Brandon Whedon. Mm-hmm. Let's hear from Alfred Blue, who is, I mean, we look up, felt like just yesterday we got drafted in 2014. We look up and here's Alfred Blue, who Bill O'Brien had some good things to say about.
Yes, he did.
Earlier today, which we'll get into in the 5 o'clock hour. Yeah. Here's Cecil Shorts with Alfred Blue.
First things first, how's camp going? Are you healthy? How you feel?
Feeling great. Camp going good. I feel like we got a good thing going. We just got to keep on pushing and getting better and competing every day and getting everybody better.
That sounds good, man. So how are the young guys doing? I know you are one of the old guys in the room now. What year is this for you?
Year five.
Year five. I think when I was here, it was like year two or three. So you're an old head now, man. How's that feel?
It feel good, man. You're the vet. You know, young guys coming to you. You get to give back knowledge to them and help them develop their game as they grow and become a professional football player. But I'll say the young guys we got this year are very mature. You know, they're very professional in how they approach each day and come in trying to get better every day.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. One person you think that's standing out in camp besides yourself that's having a good camp and got a shot to really make an impact on this team?
Man, I would say the tight end, man. We got the two young tight ends. We got Jordan Thomas and Jordan Nagins. They got it, you know. You know, as a football player, you play with a lot of guys, and you know when some guys right. got that special something inside of them. And as long as we keep pushing them, as long as they keep on driving and get better each day, they're going to be good.
Hey, well, appreciate you, man.
There it is, Cecil Shorts with Alfred Blue. It's a long way since Alfred Blue was getting tossed around by Brian Cushing on Hard Knocks back in the day. Feels like forever ago.
Yes, he's come a long way.
I mean, nobody's guaranteed a job, obviously.
Yeah.
But Bill O'Brien likes him some Alfred Blue. Sean just mentioned I think the question to Bill O'Brien after practice today was something about what do you look for in running backs or something like that. And he made a comment about availability. I mm-hmm. like when they're here and they can do what we need them to do. And he mentioned Alfred Blue by name. I feel like Bill O'Brien feels like he can rely on Alfred Blue.
Yeah, not only if you look at his rookie year, I'm not mistaken, he ran for 100-something yards against Cleveland.
He did. Yeah, Arian missed a few games, and Alfred Blue stepped in and had some good games. He's had
the
moments.
It's the yards per carry.
He's definitely had moments where he can come in and do the job. Yeah. But he's also dependable in special teams.
Yeah.
That's big. That's a huge, huge area that's needed. And the more – it's a saying that they say the more you can do.
Yep.
So the more you can do is how this is your value. So it's more if you're more valuable to the team if you can do more things and do it well. That's why I think Joe Webb has a really good shot because he can do multiple things.
Yeah. How weird is it watching a red jersey run down there on special teams?
He plays on every special team.
It's crazy. I didn't realize how big he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's huge. But when you look, I think this is – Bill O'Brien, I think, learned his lesson last year by not keeping three quarterbacks when he cut Whedon. I mean, how valuable is it that you – if you want to keep three quarterbacks, this third one you want to keep can go out there and run pass patterns for you. He's running down on special teams, right?
Yeah.
A huge versatility.
So, that means he's doing all that, plus he's learning the offense. So, you have to be a smart guy to be able to understand everything and prepare. So, think about Joe Webb has to prepare for. He's a quarterback.
Yep.
That's tough on his alone. Now, you got to also watch film on defense, but watch film on special teams. On gunners, on punt protection, on all of that. So it's pretty impressive he can do all that.
Yeah. So do you think there will be a fight at practice tomorrow?
No. No. Coach will get on him pretty heavy today. I do think we'll see a better showing from the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
As they were doing 7-on-7 in the red zone, the offensive line looked like they struggled a little bit. There's some guy named Mitchell, a D tackle for the 49ers. He was
some guy, former Texan. Earl Mitchell.
North Shore High. Yeah. So he was fired up.
Yeah.
Because he went to work on some of the guards today.
Yeah.
He went to work.
He was a Texan, I want to say drafted in 2010.
Okay.
And left, got paid by the Dolphins, and now he's a San Francisco 49er. Earl Mitchell's got a little bit of juice.
Yeah, he looked good under. He looked explosive, powerful.
Yeah.
And those guard spots are a real point of emphasis for this team right now. I mean, they need to make sure they get better play out of the because that was a real weakness last year.
You saw it on 4th-and-1.
Yeah.
You saw it on
4th-and-1.
The
on the first
guard,
series.
Yeah. Boom, D-tackle came in and stopped the play.
Yep.
On 4th-and-1, you got to be able to get that yard. If you can't get 1 yard, that's a problem.
Before we cut you loose, how did you like doing TV? How'd you like doing the pregame last Thursday?
I enjoyed it, but it goes a lot faster than
TV goes fast.
Oh my gosh. Like, yeah, you got 25 seconds to talk. I said, 25 seconds.
And it's much stricter clockwise in here. Here we just bully BMAC and tell him we're just gonna keep going here, BMAC. You can tell us all you want about the clock.
It was fun though. It was fun. David's a good guy, helped me out a lot. It was good.
Good. Are you gonna get to do some more of that?
Yes. Maybe not this week, but maybe the following week.
Good. I got to watch some of it, and I told you privately, but I'll tell you publicly, I thought you did a great job.
Thanks.
So
appreciate
good,
you guys.
Good stuff. Yeah,
we
absolutely
enjoyed that, for sure.
Cecil Shorts in studio with us, 4 o'clock hour every Wednesday as we roll on with football season. Cecil, great seeing you as always, and we will, if we don't see you out of practice, we'll see you next Wednesday right back here in studio.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
All right, there it is, Cecil Shorts joining us.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.